I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello and welcome to Where To Go. I'm James Atkinson, Brand Manager at DKI Witness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, Senior Editor at DKI Witness.
And welcome to Where To Go, where every fortnight we find out a little bit more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best. So, Lucy, today we are visiting, I'm quite excited, we are visiting Copenhagen.
Yes.
Amazing kind of city, very much old versus new.
Yes.
Scandi vibes, whilst also having quite a lot of like canals and greenery and history as well to it.
And very progressive and modern as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Have you been before?
I have, yes, I have. I went in 2017. And I have to say, actually, James, you probably know this,
yep,
but aside from New York City, mm-hmm, Copenhagen is, and London, of course, but Copenhagen is my most favourite city. I love Copenhagen. I went in August, so I feel like I saw it in the summer at its best, when
yep,
all the locals were just out and about, whizzing around on their bikes, pavement cafes, and it's such a beautiful... I was in a neighbourhood called Norebro, which had like a lovely villagey vibe,
mm-hmm,
but it's such like a green city, and I just loved how Scandinavians generally, but sort of the Copenhageners, just all looked effortlessly cool and, you know, would just
yes,
happily park up at a cafe and read their book for 30 minutes with a coffee or, I don't know, it just felt really, yeah, villagey and inclusive and casual and kind of understatedly, if that's a word, cool.
Yeah.
Is what my taking of it was. And I just loved that. And that's why, you know, if it weren't for the really long winters, I would move to Copenhagen in a heartbeat. I loved it.
Yeah, I think the key word for me there is effortless. Like I went 5-6 or so years ago, and it is just kind of they make everything look so easy,
yeah,
so unflustered. And yeah, the big memory for me is food, like going and having smørrebrød, the open sandwiches.
Yes.
The sort of really like kind of finely put together. I remember having this incredible breakfast just by the kind of riverside and there being all of these like different kind of components to it.
Yes,
and
they're beautifully made as well.
It's such a kind of contradiction of like so much kind of detail whilst also just making things look really cool and
yeah,
being quite a relaxed city as well.
Yes.
So who is our special guest that we're going to discuss Copenhagen with?
So we've got Alan Matuku-Kortbeck, who yep, is one of the writers on Copenhagen Like a Local, which is in the second wave of Like a Local books, which will be mm-hmm, out mm-hmm, in bookshops in January 2022.
Cool. So a little bit of a preview ahead to Like a Local Copenhagen with one of the writers.
Exactly.
Fantastic. And can you tell us a little bit about Alan?
Yes. So after spending his childhood between Denmark and Kenya, Alan made Copenhagen his permanent home in 2009 and plans to stay. He's a marketing creative, writer and photographer from 9 to 5 and spends his downtime by the water, swimming, surfing and running after his toddler, Tristan.
Fantastic. So without further ado, let's visit Copenhagen with Alan.
Hello.
Hi, Alan. Thank you so much for joining us on the pod to talk about all things Copenhagen today.
Yeah, sure thing. Delighted to be here.
So first of all, we're going to find out a bit about Alan and the city of Copenhagen, and then we'll hear some insider recommendations, followed by talking about today and the future. So, Alan, what was it that drew you back to live in Copenhagen?
So this calls for a bit of context. My mother is Danish, and she comes from a tiny island called Mors, which is essentially in the middle of nowhere. It's an island surrounded by a fjord that's surrounded by land close to the west coast of Denmark. And my dad is from Kenya. So I grew up in Kenya, where I went to international school, hence the accent. I spent a lot of summers during my childhood and in my teen years in Copenhagen before moving to Denmark permanently, aged 18. But at that age, I moved to a small town called Sønderborg, which is in the south of Denmark, the southern tip near Germany. And I studied there for a couple of years before I moved to Spain, and then moving back to Sønderborg. And then I decided that I didn't want to live there anymore. I was fed up with it. So I moved to Copenhagen with 20 Danish kroner, which is nothing. I don't know how many quid that is, but it's nothing in my bank account. And I mean, I'd always been drawn to Copenhagen because I'd been here before, as I mentioned, but I think it still is a very open and tolerant city for me. It's very progressive. It's a place where people have the freedom to be themselves. It's a city that's extremely livable, and has all the things that I like. So, culture, cultural events, music concerts, and the range of outdoor activities that you can do in a city, really always, it has me being very thankful at the end of the day when I think about how much I do here. So those sorts of things really drew me in. And I think over the years, of course, we all go through different phases. When I first moved here, I was as a promoter working, doing music reviews for different shows and so on. And that really sort of allowed me to see the city from one particular aspect. And now, of course, with my child, it's a more sedate life. but I'm still finding that the city keeps on surprising me, even now, when I'm not doing that much exploring per se.
Sure.
So have you kind of moved around within the city then, as you kind of alluded to there, you know, kind of going from sort of music journalism into the more sedate life now? Do you live in a different part of Copenhagen to where you first moved to?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's all gone full circle. I'm at the point now where I'm able to reflect on, you know, all the years that I've been here. So I started out in a suburb called Gentofte, which is a very wealthy suburb in the north of Copenhagen. And I was living in a basement. I had a basement for myself, living in a house there for, I think it was 3 years. And then I moved to Valby, which is just outside of Vesterbro, where I live now. And I also lived in a house there with my mates for 5 years. That was amazing. goes without saying, it was a house with a garden. Yep. Really gave us a wonderful opportunity just to experience student life in Copenhagen in a very unique way. I think most people don't have that opportunity because there's actually quite a bit of a housing shortage in Copenhagen, like there is in most major cities. So we were really lucky to have that. And then I now live in Vesterbro, most people associate it with being the hip or hipster.
I was going to say, isn't that one of the really cool parts of the city?
I mean, some of it is true, right? So like it's famously described as a place where all the hipsters hang out. But it's a little bit of a misnomer because it's a place that's definitely cool in that sense. But it's also an area that's undergone and is undergoing significant transformation. There's a lot of gentrification happening. It's very close to an area called Carlsbergbrunn, for example. Which is like the quintessential gentrification project, if you will. So lots of things are changing in Vesterbro, where there's this constant mix of things that are really cool, things that are for the creative class, and things that are just not made for locals in any way, if that makes sense. And there's this constant sort of juxtaposition of different influences, different cultures, different sorts of people. So it's also home to the meatpacking district. I'm sure many listeners and perhaps yourselves will know that area. So the meatpacking district, much like New York's meatpacking district, it's basically their former slaughterhouses that have kept their tiled interior. But today they're occupied by art galleries or nightclubs, restaurants, that sort of thing. Particularly in terms of the nightclubs, more so before in my previous life than now. The meatpacking district was fantastic, and that's always where we used to hang out. So I always dreamed of living in Vesterbro, even before I moved here. I find it to be a very tolerant area of town. I find the nightclubs to be extremely accessible for everybody. The music is really good. They're not that big like nightclubs are, for example, in London. They're much smaller and they have a very basement sort of feeling. It's very cozy. So yeah, that's a bit of Vesterbro.
Cool.
Brilliant. Well, that's a great introduction to kind of your Copenhagen. And next we're going to kind of look into some of the best things that travellers can kind of do across the city.
Yes.
So, Alan, imagine you are speaking to someone who knows absolutely nothing about Copenhagen, has never even heard of it. How would you kind of introduce the city to them?
Yeah, so I'd say that Copenhagen is very multifaceted, and I know that's a word that gets tossed around a lot, but it really is just a combination of so many different influences, styles, etc. On the one hand, it's very futuristic. You've got driverless metro trains that will take you from the airport when you get in. And they just sear through these illuminated tunnels like something out of a sci-fi film. You've got a lot of really amazing architecture that's rarely higher than 15 floors. So the city is not a city of skyscrapers. It's very low in that sense. But amidst all that ocean of glass and like new areas like Ørsted or just all these new buildings that you see popping up here and there, you also find very ancient almost neighborhoods. So you'll find places that are home to, you know, quaint colored houses that are not too different to Notting Hill, if you remember them. So that's places like Kartoffelragner or Nyboder. You'll also find a completely alternative part of town that's right in the heart of the city, actually, in Christiania. We have to talk about Christiania, of course.
Yeah.
And I think it's the kind of place that you really need to see for yourself to determine your own opinion, because I can tell you what Christiania is here and we can discuss that, but you really never understand Christiania unless you go there. It has a very liberal tradition that goes back to the 60s and 70s, sort of very rooted in counterculture, and even today is like the last bastion of that sort of place, of that sort of size existing in Denmark, in Copenhagen, and to my knowledge also in most big cities. So coming to talk about bikes as well, to somebody who's never been to Denmark, I think that's one of the things that will strike you. It will hit you like a ton of bricks, probably. Because you really
it won't hit you. Hopefully
you
won't literally hit you. Yeah.
Because you really have to rethink the way you walk or navigate through the city. Yes. Because the city is just built for bikes.
Yes.
And you'll see quite a few bikes around the city. I mean, that's something that only keeps on increasing. COVID only helped in that respect. A lot of the COVID period was people taking bikes to work instead of taking public transport and so on. I was one of the people that always biked, because I think it's actually the quickest way to get from A to B. So in addition to all the bikes, nowadays you'll see cargo bikes. So they're actually called Christiania bikes. So a cargo bike is essentially a bike for a family. It's a bigger bike, and it has like a little carriage attached to it. And now a lot of them are electric as well, so they go pretty fast.
Great.
And it's basically, if you have kids, one or two kids, you just pop them in the carriage. If it's raining, you pop the roof over so they don't get wet. And they can sit there and, play Game Boy or eat carrots or whatever. have a fantastic view of the city. Great for going on a picnic. I'm going to get one myself soon.
Cool.
And you'll also find rollerbladers, longboarders, some of them on electric boards. You'll see motorized unicycles. And to be honest, you also see some vehicles that I don't even know what they're called. I have never, you'll see them once in a while and think, okay. That's interesting. So I think in that sense, it's very, very different to anything that I know or that I've seen anywhere else. I think Amsterdam would come close to Copenhagen or Utrecht or in the Netherlands in terms of the bike culture. But bikes really are sort of part and parcel of it. And at the same time, so are pedestrians. So you have Strollet, which is, I think it's the longest pedestrian street in the world, or was at some point. A bit overrated, to be honest. But it's just a good example of how, you know, especially that part of the city is, it's just for people to walk in. And they're increasing, increasingly there's a debate about the whole of the city actually being free of cars. Which if you ask me, because I work in the middle of the city, is a fantastic idea. Because right now it's full of delivery vehicles and so on. You constantly have to zigzag in between them if you're on a bike. So, you know, expect to be amazed by just the sheer volume of bikes whizzing past you in all sides. I mean, look right, left and center before you cross anything. But also expect to be amazed by just how green the city is. Certainly, it has a very long heritage of being green. I'm not sure the same enthusiasm is being kept for green spaces in the future or in the near future, unfortunately. But the sort of like the fundamentals of Copenhagen were laid in kind of like this palm plan, which is basically a five finger plan with all the suburbs of Copenhagen like sticking out in a five finger green line kind of thing. So there's greenery everywhere. You're close to greenery. You're never far from a wonderful park, which is well maintained and has all the facilities for you to really feel at home and really feel like you're away from the city. Expect lots of new Nordic cuisine.
Yes,
which is it's simple, it looks very simple on a plate, but it's very, very complex under the hood. It's almost food science in some respects. You can also expect a city where most people speak English, which is great for people that don't speak Danish, because it's a hard language to learn and to speak. And it's a city where, you know, people seem disinterested. It's only because they're just so in their zone, you know, with headphones on the way to work and so on. But I think people open up very easily, particularly over a pint, which is, it's very much a part of Danish society, I'd say. And on that note, it's also a very liberal city. So, you know, you can drink in the parks without a hassle. You can attend amazing street parties like Distortion during the summer. And nobody's going to bother you. You know, the police are very friendly in that respect. It's very liberal. Like, you don't really feel that, you know, you have to watch over your shoulder, within limits, of course. I hope I've encapsulated everything there. There's a lot to say about Copenhagen.
I mean, that's a brilliant, brilliant introduction to it all. I mean, there were so many points where I wanted to stop you and like kind of ask more questions. But I think that really, certainly one of the things I remember from Copenhagen is, you know, if you're in a restaurant or a bar or anything like that, the service is so friendly and kind of accommodating. And that kind of the new Nordic style, I thought it was really interesting you talking about there not being any skyscrapers. And it's kind of, you know, that plus the amount of people on bikes and the parks and stuff just make it, you know, it's a very, very different experience of a city to lots of others, I think, in Europe.
Indeed, yeah.
Alan, you've worked on Like a Local, Copenhagen, so which is all about sort of how the locals actually live. And a lot of it, it's sort of about, you know, forgetting the tourist traps, forgetting the Tivolis of this world, even though obviously Tivoli is magical. And it's a lot of sort of hidden gems. So can you recommend to listeners any kind of secret places or hidden gems that as a local you would recommend?
Absolutely. So the other day when I was out riding in the morning, I came across quite a few of them. They're not in the book, actually. So let me name drop.
Oh, great. Insider knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
not giving away the book as well, like, you know.
And I'll give it away. There's even better tips in the book.
Yeah, you have to buy it when it comes out in January.
Yeah. So there's quite a few that I found. So if we start to the ones that are close to home, there's this neighboring area called Sudhavn, which we affectionately call Sudan in local parlance. And in Sulhavn, it's actually, if you go to the place called Sulhavn's Tip, where you can see all these alpacas, on the way there, on the gravel road, on the right-hand side, you'll see some old houses, very, very small houses. This area is called Musikbyen, so it's called Music Town. And these small houses are essentially, you call them kolonihaver in Danish. So it's, a lot of Danes have a house where they go to on the weekends to just relax and do nothing during the summer. Just very tiny. You can't live in there for most of the year. And it looks like a Christiania, which we just talked about, in the sense that it looks very sort of almost dilapidated in some parts. It's right by this canal, right by the water. And I think for me, the biggest sort of like, wow, this is actually quite an interesting place was, so I go there a lot with my toddler to see the alpacas. And I took my fiance with me, with us one day. And, you know, she was like, she said, this doesn't look like Denmark at all. It just looks very, very different to everything else. And I honestly don't know that many people that know of the existence of this place. It just seems very off the beaten path, and it's in an area where there's not really anything happening. So it's in between Sulhavn's Tippen and a park called Valbu Park.
Okay.
So that's the first one. It's just a very natural and beautiful, unkempt experience.
Yeah.
And then also in Sulhavn is the old Sulhavn Harbour. So Sulhavn is divided into two parts that sort of epitomizes juxtaposition of Copenhagen being this old versus new thing. So the new part is all very sort of like fancy apartments by the water. Everybody has their stand-up paddleboard and can just jump in right away. And the old part is towards the Sulhavn Harbour, which basically looks more like a fishing village on Denmark's rugged west coast than anything else. While you're there, you should definitely check out a cafe. I think it's called Café Sul. Okay. And this cafe is fantastic because they don't accept credit cards. It's that sort of place, right? And it serves traditional Danish food. And it's definitely not the sort of place that, James, you said before, like you were very impressed by the service. I mean, it's not the sort of place that people are sort of like stumbling over their themselves to make you feel welcome. It's got that very sort of raw, sort of like fisherman kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's also not the kind of science of food place that you were kind of talking about.
Not at all. No. I mean, probably the menu, like if we order the same thing, it's probably going to taste a little, just quite a bit different for all of us. so it's, you know, which is the charm of the place, right? That in a city where everything is sort of like planned and structured and so on and very service-minded, you still have places like this where, you know, you show up with with your credit card, they're going to look at you like you're mad. that's definitely a place you'd want to check out just to sort of, take it all in, enjoy the harbour, enjoy the old boats. You can still see remnants of fishing nets there. And, I mean, enjoy it while it lasts because there's plans for big property development there, which is a shame.
Yeah.
But, you still have the chance to enjoy it right now.
Cool.
And
sounds like a really different part of the city.
It is, and it's, you know, it comes out of nowhere as well. Like you don't, it's nestled between all sorts of industrial complexes and so on, and then it just pops out at you. It's a very nice circuit to go on if you bike there.
That's very, very cool. That's a real top tip.
It is, yeah.
Absolutely, and we're going to kind of wrap up this section with a couple of kind of quick fire questions.
Mm-hmm.
So don't dwell on it too long. First thing that comes to mind, etc.
Yes.
Firstly, your number one place to eat in Copenhagen.
Wow, that's a difficult one. If I had to, say one of the number ones, okay, Hija de Sanchez. So Hija de Sanchez Cantina. So this is the one in Nordhavn. There's three Hija de Sanchez's. Two of them are in Vesterbro, but I prefer the one in Nordhavn, basically because it makes me feel like I'm in Guadalajara in Mexico or something. It's just very, very raw and sort of, very nice eating experience.
Sounds fantastic. Amazing. And maybe most importantly, your favorite place to drink in Copenhagen?
I'd probably say it's Lille Kube, which is... It's classified as one of the world's best cocktail bars, but it's one the sort of place that you'd actually never know existed unless you knew it was there. There's three floors to it. My favorite is the whiskey lounge at the top.
Nice.
The cocktails are just so well made. I think cocktail drinking in Copenhagen has become very popular these days. So a lot of places actually charge you a little bit more than they should for a cocktail that's not that well made. Here, you definitely pay a little bit more, but the cocktail is fantastic. It's almost a culinary experience. It's just, beautiful and very nice settings as well.
Sounds fantastic. Like my kind of a place. And just going back to the Louisiana Museum of Art, which you said is a bike ride away, is there anything sort of else interesting to do kind of nearby or in the surrounding areas of Copenhagen, like a day trip or anything like that?
I mean, if you're on that route, Strandvejen, there's so many places you can stop by. You could stop by the Deer Park, for example.
Lovely.
And while you're near the Deer Park, there's actual deer there. So it's like what's it called? Nara in Japan? So that sort of place.
Yeah.
Where the deers are all in close proximity to you. It's a very sort of just a nice place to go and relax when the weather is good. There's a race course as well. If you like horse racing, you can go there and hedge your bets or whatever you do when you go to the races. There's Bakken, which is the second oldest amusement. No, sorry. It's the oldest amusement park in the world. Tivoli's the second oldest. I always get confused with those two. But Bakken is more, it's more raw, it's more authentic. It has the oldest roller coaster in the world, which is really fun. It looks like this rickety old thing that's just going to fall down any second. But it's actually just very fun to sit on and you know, you're riding through history in a way. What else can you do around there? There's the beach. Lots of beaches on the way there. To Louisiana that you can just stop off and enjoy. Hellerup, the suburb of Hellerup, it's quite a nice place to stop and get a sandwich at.
I mean, great. So it all sounds magical. Like it's quite cool as well as if it's like, a 50-60 kilometer bike ride, which sounds like a lot, but is definitely doable in a day. There's loads to see there. And
definitely.
Kind of is a continuation of what you were saying about that kind of, the green spaces of Copenhagen. Like it's almost kind of getting out and seeing a bit of the real of wider Denmark as well, which is cool.
Yeah, it's very much like you can also drive it. I mean, it's also like you can. Whenever we drive to Louisiana, we always drive along that road. You can also take the motorway, but there's just so much more excitement, and you see all these classic cars. If it's a good day, everybody's got their old classic car out, just driving along. It's very much like those Hollywood scenes where there's no winding roads, it's a straight road, but you get the picture. Like there's this all these old cars just driving up and down and
like classic kind of coastal road.
Yeah, exactly. Vibe. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thanks for those amazing recommendations. We have like a running joke on this podcast that Lucy seems to want to go to every single destination. And I can see her getting more and
the
more
whiskey,
kind of excitable.
The whiskey lounge. Okay. I'm like, yes, I need to go purely for the whiskey lounge.
you do. I mean, that's one good reason for visiting Copenhagen.
If you've been inspired by this episode and want to get closer to an adventure in Denmark or Copenhagen, do it with a DKR Witness Guide. Find DKR Witness Denmark and Top 10 Copenhagen in a bookshop near you or via the link in our episode bio.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So, Alan, How has Copenhagen changed in recent years? You've mentioned a bit about gentrification, but obviously there's been COVID as well. How's the city been in recent times?
So if we look at recently, being like the last few years, if I look at the years that I've lived here, for instance, there's construction everywhere. There's all these modern buildings being built to address the affordable housing shortage in the city. So Carlsberg, which we've spoken about before, is like the quintessential example of that. They moved a whole S-train station a kilometer up and called it Carlsberg as part of that, for example. That's just to give you an example. But it's also become more and more international over the years that I've lived here. So it's definitely not unusual to hear many different languages being spoken on its streets. And that's partially to do with, I think, startups. So it's very easy to start your own business in Denmark, but it's also very attractive for startups, kind of like in the same way that Ireland is, not necessarily with the tax haven thing, but more along the lines of it's just very, there's not that much red tape, and there's a very nice culture of startups, which obviously attract talented people from across the EU, from across, across the globe, essentially. Street food has become very much a part and parcel of the food package in Copenhagen. So whereas a few years ago everything was all about the new Nordic, and perhaps it still is to some extent, nowadays you're never far from a food truck. And it's food trucks of a very high quality, I'd say, generally. And it's something new for Danes, because a lot of Danes are not used to trying their own cuisine, certainly Danes outside of Copenhagen. So This whole street food vibe has just really taken over the city in that sense, and also expanded to other parts in Denmark as well.
Cool.
Apart from that, if we look more recently, under COVID, obviously, I guess it was the same for a lot of cities in the world. There was the lockdowns, and people didn't really do much. Everything sort of like came to a standstill, but right now everything has opened again, more or less. I think clubs will be open in September, the last thing that opens. Vaccinations are really high.
Good.
Most of the population is vaccinated, and I think everybody's also just calmed down a little bit and sort of just relaxed a little bit more and really had time and space to just appreciate the good summer. We've had a good summer by Copenhagen standards. It hasn't rained every day, which is great.
So, yeah, speaking of weather, when would be the best time for people to visit Copenhagen, would you say?
The obvious answer would be summer, because winter is definitely not for the faint-hearted.
How cold does it get in winter?
You know what? It doesn't actually really get that cold if you look at the thermometer, but there's something that we call the chill factor.
Yeah.
Here in Denmark, especially, it's that deceitful sort of like, oh, I'm going to wake up and see what the weather is outside. And then you think you've dressed yourself really well and you're really warm, and you go outside and it feels like it's 10 degrees colder. I think a lot of it has to do with the wind. So the wind just really gets into everything and bites really hard.
Is that being near to the water as well, potentially?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it's, I don't know, in January and February, I'd say, January, February, March, it's when it tends to freeze. So then it kind of goes below zero a lot of the time. But that also means that it doesn't rain that much. So January, February, and March are also the better part of the winter months, if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, so definitely summer, but I'd also say that perhaps sort of May and June are personally my favorite times here in Copenhagen, because there's lots of sunlight hours. It's just before people's holidays, so there's a lot of buzz and excitement, and you can still explore a lot of things without, you know, the whole country and everyone else being on holiday.
Sure.
So there's perhaps less tourists at that time of the year. July also tends to have quite a few downpours, so it can be a gamble sometimes. That you come here expecting, or a lot of Danes take the holiday and we get so disappointed each year as if we haven't tried it before when it rains.
I mean, that's the same for Brits. Yeah. We try and do holidays over here.
Yeah.
So true.
And you sort of mentioned a while ago about like kind of some of the parties, and you mentioned that obviously nightclubs are opening back up again soon. Are there any sort of events on the calendar? Are things like kind of starting, things that people might want to come visit or see?
Yeah, absolutely. So already in mid-October, we've got this thing called Culture Night. And it's basically every cultural institution imaginable. So libraries, museums, etc. They just open their doors for very bespoke events at each venue. And it's for kids, for grown-ups, for everybody. And it's the one night where you really can't see it all. So it's the night where you have to sort of say, okay, I'm going to prioritize seeing these 10 things or however many things that you're going to see. You can get a pass, which also gives you free public transport all night long. And it's just about, you know, picking what you want to see and choosing wisely, because it really does come alive. It's the start of the half-term holidays for the kids. That's sort of like kicked off by that. Then, of course, there's Halloween. And I mean, Halloween is becoming a big thing these days, certainly in the neighborhoods and so on. But ironically, probably one of the best places to see it is actually Tivoli, even though Tivoli is an amusement park. It does look very beautiful when it's draped in its Halloween colors and there's lanterns hanging from the trees. And it does feel like you're on a little bit of an adventure right in the middle of the city center.
That's quite an iconic way to spend Halloween as well. That's really, really cool.
Exactly. Then another thing, actually one of my favorites, is the Santa Lucia, so the St. Lucia Parade. And this is on the 13th of December, or mid-December anyway. And it's basically an illuminated parade by people in their kayaks in the canals. At night, at 5 o'clock, it's dark anyway at that point. So it looks very, very beautiful to see all the lights on the water. Yeah. And it's just nothing else is happening at that time of year because everybody's buying Christmas presents just before Christmas. So this is one of the things that actually does definitely put a lot of people in a good mood, in the Christmas spirit perhaps. And then speaking of Christmas, obviously, you've got the Christmas markets. Most of them are overrated, but there's one called Dunkelhel, which is the Grey Hall. And this is in the middle of Christiania. And there's all sorts of artisanal wares that you can buy there. Lots of handcrafted things. It's a very authentic Christmas market, if there's such a thing left in this world. It's a very nice place to check out. And then, start of the year, I'm not really sure what's going on there, but if you do come in June, you should definitely check out Distortion Festival, which is, you've probably heard of it. It's basically a week of absolute chaos, electronic music in the city's streets. The streets get transformed essentially to one big playground.
Wow. Great. Well, but so many different recommendations there. And I think it's great to also hear that, things are opening up, things are starting again. And, really sort of positive vibes for the future as well. That's really cool. And we'll certainly look forward to visiting Copenhagen. So with that, thank you very much, Alan. Thanks for all your amazing, amazing recommendations. There are so many things I want to do in Copenhagen now.
You got to come back, and the rest of you have to come.
We will.
Yeah.
We will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See you there. So, but I think for anyone kind of interested in following Alan on his bike rides and adventures and so on, you can find him on Instagram. That's at, I believe, at Kortbeck Travels. Is that correct?
That's correct, Alan?
You can follow him there. And a huge sort of where to go thanks to you, Alan, for joining us and sharing all your wonderful insights into Copenhagen.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, huge thank you to Alan. That was brilliant. I mean, I know we've both been to Copenhagen before. I'm itching to go back, Lucy.
Me too. Yeah, so many new things and more places that I want to explore.
So interesting as well. I think Alan really kind of took us off the beaten track with a couple of those recommendations and really got to the heart of the city and its kind of context in wider Denmark too, which is really, really refreshing to hear about. So you can kind of join us on our next episode where actually, we've talked about Alan kind of being a local author. Our next episode is a celebration of the launch of the first Like a Local books, Lucy.
Yay! yes, exciting.
Which, if you're listening to this, listener, the books come out on the 16th of September. But this episode, we'll kind of be talking to three of the authors from some of the first books coming out. And we're going to go to three different destinations to find out a little bit of like kind of the local take.
Yeah.
And, you know, how locals actually see their own hometowns. What we, and, you know, get to a little bit of the bottom of what we can kind of understand from those local recommendations too, and how we can travel a little bit differently in this kind of post-coronavirus world. So our three destinations next week are, you ready for this, Lucy?
I'm ready.
San Francisco, Berlin, and London, but a little bit closer to home.
I'm excited about London.
I'm very,
well.
Very excited to talk about London again. But so listen out for that next time. Very excited for that special episode. I mean, Lucy, you must be chuffed that these books are finally hitting the shelves.
Listeners have heard us talk about them ad nauseum for the past 18 months. So I'm just really, really delighted that they've come to fruition. And you know, we have just got so many wonderful writers on the series. So it's really nice to be having them on the podcast as well, and kind of crossing both my parts of my role, which is really nice to kind of bring them together under one happy roof, which is really lovely.
Yeah, plenty of writers who you've heard on the podcast before, listener, as well. Like I know Nicola in Dublin has done like a local Dublin. So
that's right, yeah.
And obviously not until the January batch, but Alan, as we've heard today. So we'll be very much looking forward to that episode. But until then, huge thanks to you, Lucy.
And same to you, James.
And we shall see you next time.
Where to Go is produced by the team at DKI Witness and the wonderful Julia Baker. It was presented by James Atkinson and Lucy Richards and mastered by Johnny Coddington at Bottle Rocket Recordings. For more information about DKI Witness, follow us on social media at DKI Witness or visit dk.com/eyewitness.
And please remember to like, rate, review and subscribe the show wherever you get your podcasts. Your support means so much to us.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.